Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that was good. That would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
On 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, alongside former Badgers Derek Engler and Tarek Saleh, here's Alex Gravatt.
It is the Great Dane Huddle with Barry Alvarez live from the East Side. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and of course, Coach joining us virtually. We're here on YouTube. We'll be live tomorrow, Friday. This is being recorded Thursday. It's all a little confusing. I don't know how it happens. I just show up when they tell me to show up. I'm sure you guys are feeling the same. It is college bowl game season, and it is the college football playoffs. And right now, as we see, it's Notre Dame is wiping the floor with Georgia, and you two cannot get enough of it. Isn't that right, Tarek?
I love it. I love it. And I love the fact that SEC is suffering. I mean, and it's awful. I mean, even myself, I thought that they were going to have a great showing. And we talked about it before, and I'm glad to see them get their butts kicked by the Big Ten and Notre Dame. It's fantastic. What do you say, Coach? Doesn't get better than
this. Along with that, I agree with you. But along with that, the Big Ten is showing up so well.
No question.
Very Illinois, Michigan.
Penn State against Boise. It goes on and on. So the Big Ten is really showing up very well in the bowl season.
Ohio State's looking up real good. Oregon, the newest of the Big Ten teams, perhaps what you talked about at the beginning of the season, Coach, finally caught up to them. They were beaten up. They weren't ready. They weren't ready for what true Big Ten play looks like, despite going 13-0 throughout the regular season. What do you see from them and from Ohio State that stood out to you?
Well, I think last week I picked Ohio State. I felt I picked Ohio State. I felt that I really like their lines. I think they're strong up front. The fact we played Oregon through the fourth quarter and have a chance to beat Oregon, I didn't think they were a physical enough team. You play through our league and you get beat up. And even in bowl season, it's hard to recover. So, and they're not going to out-athlete Ohio State. Ohio State is going to out-physical them up front. So I'll be honest with you, that score did not surprise me.
That score did not surprise me. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I went to the Ohio State-Tennessee game, the first playoff game at Ohio Stadium. It was raucous. It was rowdy. There is a vitriol, a bloodlust that Ohio State comes to each game with. I was not prepared for that, and it was something else entirely. I am of the volition. I believe that there's not a whole lot that anyone can do left to beat Ohio State. I think this is Ohio State's championship to lose, even as we watch Notre Dame look really good against Georgia. Let's just start right there. Derek, who do you have?
Well, I mean, obviously, Ohio State looked really good against Oregon, and Oregon's very athletic, and we know that. But I don't know. I mean, you know, there's this team in a state where our former coach was born, Pennsylvania, that's a pretty good team. Penn State's kind of a sleeper to me. I mean, they are well coached. They are tough, hard nosed, play good defense, all the fundamentals, everything that we were coached on. I don't know.
I agree. I think Coach will elaborate this. Not so fast there, G-Man. You know.
Whoa. Sorry. You guys have been coming at me all afternoon, all right?
We're going to keep going here. It's just there's two games to play, you know, and we've seen teams like Georgia who I think are really gifted and should probably win this game, but they didn't come to play today. And they're suffering because Notre Dame's, you know, buttoned up and they're dialed in and they're playing. So, Coach, Ohio State's got two games to go. They got a lot of talent, but you got to play the game, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think Ohio State has an excellent chance, but you already said Penn State is right there. They'll compete with them. I like the fact they're both league teams. And I think I'm watching Notre Dame right now as we speak. They're a nice team. So I don't like the championships going south. So I like the fact that we have big
absolutely.
I like the fact that we have a number of teams in our league and include Notre Dame in that that I think are very strong.
I was going to say, Notre Dame definitely feels like more of a Big Ten team than an SEC team, top to bottom, right?
Oh, no question.
They should be a Big Ten team.
They should be a Big Ten team. You hear it here from Tarek.
They make a lot of money on their own, so it is what it is.
That they do. I was looking at it. Okay, what was that, Coach?
Go ahead.
I was looking at it.
I was just going to say, Notre Dame is a national school, and unless you're there, I was there 3 years, and you recognize that. It's important. I mean, it's a school that draws. It's not primarily from the state of, the University of Wisconsin is a national school, but the majority of your students are from Wisconsin. Notre Dame is truly a national school, and it's not an Indiana school. It's a national school. So I think it's important for them to stay independent and play schools around the country, strong, competitive schools around the country.
G-Man, I mean, it literally, the University of Notre Dame, in my trip in 1985 as an 11-year-old kid, first college football game, Jerry Faust. I mean, you had Alan Pinkett, Berline, you had Zorich. I knelt down at the grotto. I'm not kidding you. And I look over, I see these forearms that look like most people's thighs. And it's Chris Zorich. And he shook my hand. I thought it was the best thing ever. The whole Notre Dame is essential to college football, and I hope we don't lose that because to Coach's point, they are a national attraction. They just are, and I to see what they're doing right now to Georgia, it's pretty impressive.
Feels a little good, too, because you guys are not a fan of the SEC, and at this Ohio State game that I was at, they just took the doors off of Tennessee. There was nothing Tennessee could do. Everyone was open the whole game. It was ugly. The fans of Tennessee who were sitting behind me, they're a relatively calm bunch. They took it well, but the chance of SEC, SEC. Well,
this is now getting me fired up because this draws me back to the Coach, we're picking the 12 teams, right? They were picking the 12 teams, and South Carolina, Alabama got screwed. Ole Miss. Oh, this is
it would have been the whole SEC.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. I mean, and they were wrong. They're wrong all day. It's amazing.
And here's the Big Ten showing up and showing out in fantastic fashion. Where does this hatred of the SEC come from? Is it just because they think they're a better conference?
Well,
I think a lot of it is the national media has this impression that they're superior. And maybe at one time they were a little above everyone else. If you keep winning national championships, and I just saw Nick Saban do an interview and they flash up there. He's won 7 national championships. But, he got... He got thumped a little bit when he was at Michigan State here coaching in our league.
Well, they invented NIL, Coach, before we knew what NIL was.
They're pioneers.
Yeah, Nick was on NIL before NIL was NIL.
For sure.
Speaking of NIL, this week it was the athletic director, Ross Bjork, if I'm saying that right, the Ohio State athletic
Bjork.
Director, Bjork, said that the players received about $20 million, those Buckeye players did, in NIL. Wisconsin is hoping to raise $15 million for this upcoming year, if I understand things correctly. How is it possible that even though we're in the same league, we're in the same conference, we're playing the same teams again and again, how can the Badgers hope to keep up when they have 3/4 the money to spend?
Hey, did you clarify what we spent this year?
I did not.
I don't know, but I feel like it was the 2 to 3. You're saying, so just to be fair, with this year, 2 to 3 versus 20.
Right.
It's crazy. Now we're going to be back in the game, though, a little bit here with this 15, and that should be, at least better, Coach, you think?
You can only sign so many guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, They all can't go to one school. So, you know, we still have to keep this, in my philosophy, the parameters have to be the same. Keep your best players at home. Keep your best players at home. And then wherever your assistants have relationships outside, in my case, it was the East Coast. It was Minnesota. And that's primarily where we would go get guys. And we didn't have to go outside of that. We didn't have to go down and try to make a living in Florida and Georgia and then Southeast, because we had enough skilled guys in the East and in the Midwest to fill our roster. So everybody has to understand who they are and where they legitimately can recruit and where they have contacts. And sometimes guys don't understand that fully. That's why they don't last very long.
Yeah, Coach, you had a guy on your staff that was able to pull some pretty good receivers out of Ohio in Henry Mason.
Henry Mason, right.
Yeah, and Bernie Wyatt on the East Coast. I mean, that's a great point, because you got to have what Coach is talking about on your staff. They have to have their hands in certain areas of the country, and they got to be able to recruit. And I think that is so important. The money's one thing. The money's one thing, but you still got to be able to evaluate talent and recruit.
And what Coach did really well is have an identity. And what kind of guy fits into our program, you know, and you're taking the different things into consideration, you know, whether, you know, his heart, his toughness, his love for football, right, and yep, a little bit of ability. And that's how we see these guys that Ohio State may look over just because the guy runs a 4.6 instead of a 4.4. But because we have an identity, Coach, we understand what kind of player fits in and where we're going to make up that difference.
Yeah. And we're not going to go into Ohio and beat Ohio State. Well, you have to understand that. You're not going to go into Pennsylvania and beat Penn State. Yeah, but there are a lot of players there. There are a lot of players there.
Right.
But you cannot lose any in Wisconsin. And you got to go up Minnesota and go after their best guys, because we historically have been able to get really good players out of there.
And we got big palookas.
Big palookas, aren't
you? In this state.
Like you start with the palookas.
That's right.
You start with the palookas.
Yeah, but the Jimmy Leonards, you know, the Zach Bonds. I mean, Zach Bond was like, he might have been that Whitewater. You know, he took, I think we were his only like D1 scholarship. You know, we give guys opportunities here in state that are maybe not seen on the national level. You got to recruit those guys and make them part of it, because they'll make a difference for you.
Well, the Badger linebackers in the NFL
doing some crazy things.
I mean,
things
one of
right
them
now.
Just made the Pro Bowl in Van Ginkle, but Bond was right there. I was surprised that he did not make it. I mean,
yeah, Bond should have.
Yeah,
this
I
is
agree.
His coming
Coach.
Out party,
I agree.
Though. They 100%. Gave him a chance. He'll get it next year, because a lot of times you need
and
that
then,
momentum.
TJ Edwards.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays on a terrible team in Chicago, but, you know, I mean, he had a hell of a year.
Speaking of TJ's, TJ Watt, and
well,
flip
yeah,
it around.
He didn't do bad. Well, he didn't have a bad year.
Yeah, no, he made it to the Pro Bowl, no problem. And JT, the other way around, is also headed to the Pro Bowl. So there's a lot of excitement around the Badgers right now, and that's pretty exciting for me. And they're succeeding at the professional level, so I think there's a lot to buy into. Now, of course, Ohio State's guys are also always going to the Pro Bowl. They're always going to the league, and it makes it kind of tricky as you look at this, trying to figure out how you're going to beat them in the Midwest. But something that I've seen that the Badgers have done a lot lately is finding these really good, strong, big, athletic dudes in the transfer portal from MAC schools, from, you know, smaller teams that we play in the non-conference games. Tarek, you're nodding your head. You seem to agree.
Well, that's what you got to do. You got to go find value. You got to find guys that fit in. Now, I'm shaking my head. As long as those guys are those guys, we're just not taking them. The assumption is that you're going in there and you're evaluating what kind of player fits into your program that we talked about with Coach here. If they're doing that, then man, that's awesome. Finding guys with grit, toughness, that are going to make a difference.
All right, I want to get
back. It's about evaluating. It's about – you have a list. When a kid goes into the portal, that name's out there. You can start recruiting them, but you have to have, I'm sure Luke has his own recruiting coordinator and people just responsible for the portal. And you're going through and you've got to study those guys. Will they fit here? Are they the kind of guy that we want in the program? Do a little research, a little background in them, and then go after them. I think we've brought in some good ones, but you can really make some hay now outside of high school recruiting and change your team immediately.
You know, and this is just like the NFL now. So you have your pro personnel director, then you get your college recruiting director, and you got different pieces coming together, and you have opportunities to evaluate guys and make a difference, and hopefully that would get us on course, because next year we got a big schedule, man. So
a big schedule indeed, and I want to get to a little bit more of that. I want to get back to the college football playoff for a moment, but get more for your pour. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is a Madison Original Brewing award-winning craft beers for 30 years. And now, every Monday through Thursday, from 3 until 6 p.m., enjoy 20-ounce pints of their flagship beers for only $3, from Crop Circle Wheat to the Good Dog IPA to Old Glory APA. Head to one of their locations in Fitchburg, Hilldale, downtown, or East Madison, and enjoy a bigger and better happy hour. You're listening to the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN with Coach Barry Alvarez. Now,
by the way, are we able to take breaks or no? Because we're just going to
no, we're running through it. We're running through it. All of the production will be done by Riley Yauch. Riley, you're holding us down back in the ESPN Everlight Madison Solar Studios, aren't you?
Oh, yes. We'll
thank
take care of this
much
tomorrow, but you guys are doing great so far.
Okay, fantastic. Well, as long as I can have my Good Dog IPA right here from the Great Dane, it's fantastic. Keep going, Riley.
Love to hear it. So Texas and Arizona State had a pretty crazy game yesterday, and I personally didn't get to watch it, but you came in real hot on it, Derek.
Well, I loved it. Are you kidding me? I mean, that is a team, and that head coach, and I'd love to hear my former coach's thoughts on you know, what he might have to say on this, because what he did and where they were projected to be, Arizona State was in the bottom of the cellar coming into the season, and to do that and to come back and have that kid, that I'll tell you what, Tarek.
Yeah.
You watch that Scatterball.
Scataboo?
Yeah.
Scataboo.
Scotcheroo?
Scotcheroo.
I mean, he is
a warrior.
Football
Scataboo
player.
Carried 50 times for us.
Amen.
Amen, coach.
Amen. No question.
Now
he would have been giving us a hands on him. Yeah, coach, and he break. Not so fast, Scataboo.
Oh, that's great.
Now, obviously, it came down to overtime. It was a historic finish. It was excellent. My coworkers in the ESPN Madison or Milwaukee office today were telling me it was one of the best games they'd ever seen. Now, obviously, they were also about my age, so you got to keep that in mind. We're talking since 1997. But the overtime rules were really interesting, and I they haven't changed, but I love them. This, you get the ball at the 40, and you just got to go score. Coach, how do you feel the college football play or overtime rules are compared to the NFL overtime rules? What do you prefer?
I don't have a problem with college overtime. I really don't. To me, it doesn't make any difference. As long as you know the rules before the game starts. If it's a tie game and you have a choice to go for two to win or kick an extra point to tie, and you choose to tie, that you know what the rules are for the next level. It doesn't make any difference to me. So I have no problems with it. I like the college overtime.
Tarek, no question. I like it too, because you get a chance to rebut, where in the pros, they score a touchdown, it's over, from what I understand. In college, you know, you score a touchdown, you match a touchdown, and you go back and forth. That's fair. You got to be able to rebut and counter whatever comes at you. You say that, Engler? It's a fair story, fair statement.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm with Coach and you. I mean, I think I have no problem with it. You know, part of me, I kind of like, you know, the NFL is different. Right, you know, I mean, you know, defenses are different in the NFL. So yeah. if you achieve and you go score a touchdown on that first drive in the National Football League, you deserve the win, in my opinion. So in college, yeah, I just that's the way I look at it, because defenses in the NFL are.
But you drive the length of the field, to your point, Derek. You're not just getting the ball on the 40.
Right, correct.
So I could see that. I think time and all these things in the consideration,
but
might be true.
But now with the new kickoffs in the NFL, I mean, you are on the
30-yard line at least, yeah.
That's an awful kickoff scenario.
I don't know if it gets better than college overtime rules. It is everything you want.
It is fun.
Fireworks.
It is fun.
Your offense and your defense are both equally as important, because if your defense gives one up, well then, all right, it's all on this. And that is, there's something about that. It kind of simulates, it's like a mini scrimmage of just your best plays on your best players. However, I do think that it's better for the playoffs than it is for any other time, because any other time, if you got that one guy, if you got that Travis Hunter-style Heisman finalist wide receiver, playmaker, Ashton Jante, you can just win on that. And I think, but, you know, maybe not, but that's, I feel like that.
You can't say that, Alex. Where in hell was he all game?
Yeah, that's the rebut. Exactly. So this isn't NFL overtime, Coach. You have a chance to rebut, and that's exactly what Tarek was
saying.
Right.
I respect it. I agree.
But it did look like Texas was quite beatable, and so now Ohio State's taking on Texas, and it looks more and more like Penn State's going to take on Notre Dame.
That's going to be a hell of a game.
Which game do you think is going to be better?
Yeah, they're all great. They're all great.
They'll all be good. I'd love to see both Big Ten teams make it through.
Ohio State, Penn State?
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
That's a likely scenario. Those will be the favorites going into the game, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Likely indeed.
Those are the teams, Alex, that Coach prepared us to beat.
Right.
Ohio State's, Penn State's, the Michigan's. Those are the teams that we always aim for, that, you know, obviously, traditionally, the, you know, Minnesota's and the Iowa's, of course. And then when Nebraska came in the league late, but back when we were playing, it was Minnesota and Iowa. Those are very, very important. But the intensity, the dial, it turned up when it was Ohio State, when it was Penn State, when it's Michigan. We all knew that, right, T?
No question. I mean, those are the teams that you love to get. I love to play them every week.
Oh.
That's
the real
deal. I didn't
like
going to Purdue with,
nobody wants
long
to go to
grass,
Northwest.
Rain.
Long grass?
Exactly.
Long grass?
Felt like it was long grass.
Why was it long grass?
Because they had Mike Allstott there, and they didn't want us to have speed. They wanted to, like... And that guy's a beast.
This is miserable.
Coach,
you go to West Lafayette or Evanston? No, thank you.
Coach, did you check the grass length? Did you ever figure that one out?
Well, it didn't make any difference because we didn't have any say. If they had a fast team, it was going to be short grass. If they had a bunch of slugs, it was going to be high grass. If you have a fast team, it's going to be high grass.
So wait, were you in charge of cutting the lawn?
No, we had an AstroTurf, man.
When we had grass, I was.
Yeah.
That's gamesmanship. That's part of gamesmanship.
Home field advantage with Coach Barry Alvarez. I'm Alex Trebek. That's Tarek Salah. Derek Engler alongside me here at the Great Dane. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 with Barry Alvarez.
And hey, can we bring up one scenario, the Illinois-South Carolina game?
Yes.
Coach,
yes,
did you watch that scenario, Coach?
About. I did. Yep. I did.
So set the table.
Well, I got to hear this.
Illinois is kicking off, right? The South Carolina guy makes a sign, like the crawl, like the T, saying basically it's in theory they're not going to return the kick. And then what they did was they actually returned the kick, and they had like a trick play. And – it was almost like a quarterback in the NFL going for a slide and then not sliding and then running afterwards. And Bielema went nuts, which I loved, because it was kind of like that chicken crap scenario.
Like Brett pulled every trick in the book against him.
Yeah.
But if they do one thing against him, he goes nuts. I know how that works.
Coach, and he goes over the sideline.
He's on the sideline taunting them.
He walks across the field to his guy that's down on the field, and then he's over there talking.
Yeah, he wasn't checking his guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't checking his guy. He was going to go over there and talk to the young coach.
That is the truth. Oh,
he knew
God.
He was under his skin, and he was going to get him a little bit more.
But what was great about, I love the coaches going at each other because they're all trying to get a reaction out of their kids and get them motivated. And, you know, the media is offended. But what a great – that made for great, you know, theater, great football.
Oh, it was exactly right, Tarek. Very well said.
Oh, man.
And South Carolina was a good football team. They were coming on strong. Illinois, I mean, you know, and then Michigan do what they did to Alabama. I mean, I love the fact that what we're doing – I mean, I love everything except for the fact that we're not playing, obviously. And you know that's obviously
sour
disheartening.
Taste.
Yeah. But to see the Big Ten compete on this level is
so. When I was watching the Michigan Alabama game,
Hold on, wait. Let's get to that in just one moment here, because someone who will never taunt you, like Brett Bielema was taunting, is the folks over at Janesville Kia, located right off Interstate 90. They are only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way that they want to be treated, and that's why they are up 78% over last year. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference of Janesville Kia and told their friends, not their enemies.
Get that Telluride. Let's go.
Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles, including that Telluride, with an industry-leading 10-year.
Dylan, we got to get you a bacon cheeseburger.
100,000-mile warranty is worth the Great Dane, which has fantastic food. Experience the difference that great customer service makes today at Janesville Kia.
I got my boy here.
We need a food break.
Yeah, winter break. I got my boy here. I mean,
Coach has left the screen.
Yeah. That's it.
Where did Barry go? He just dipped. What's going on? Oh, there he is.
Barry was getting dehydrated.
This is the Great Dane on 100.5 ESPN. But you were talking about the Michigan-Alabama game, and that was a huge game for the Big Ten because Michigan, despite being a national champion recently, they're not our big dog anymore. And we went out, as the Big Ten, and Michigan went out and took it to what is a really good team, the team that everyone thought should have made the postseason, this playoff. As Notre Dame does officially clinch their victory.
Yeah.
But how about that?
How about that? How about that?
What were you saying before, Tarek, about this big, you know, victory over Alabama for Michigan?
What I was saying about that is that early in the game, the weather, I thought, impacted Alabama, slowed them down, and then all of a sudden the sun came out, and I'm like, oh, boy, Alabama's going to get some traction, the speed will take over, and Michigan's going to struggle. Well, it didn't happen. And I'm glad it didn't happen because, you know, Coach, you can hear that scenario. Oh, there's, you know, dried up, so the speed won over from Alabama and the SEC, but it didn't. I mean, Michigan was as fast as they were and more physical.
Yeah.
And it was.
I don't hear that as often anymore.
Yeah.
I don't hear the speed thing as often as it used to be because I think the guys in the South, now we're playing more teams in the South Sea, our cats can run too.
Yeah, and the other thing is all of these guys are having millions of dollars funneled into training them. I'm going to brag for a moment. I recently chimed my 40 for the Madison Radicals, right? We have our own little combine. We've got our workouts.
I run a
4.6, 4.40. No, we've got lasers.
I was going to say, you haven't finished the 40 yet.
We've got lasers.
Going.
Yeah. We're running 4.64. So, you know, if I can do that, kids from Wisconsin who are real athletes can run much faster than that. So I think the speed is going to be kind of a big, you know, as Tarek Saleh orders food from the Great Dane mid-segment.
I'm doing it silent. I was doing sign language.
I was doing it too.
They have fantastic food here. You got to come check it out.
I'm not going to miss the opportunity.
I love the Korean rice bowl. What'd you get, Tarek?
I just get the curry soup.
I mean, G-Man, Coach always taught us. I mean, you have an opportunity. I mean, we got to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
I mean we got to get on top of that and order the food.
Got to get get on top of it and order the food. His coach, I don't know, he's taking the dog for a walk. All hell is broken loose here on the Great Dane Huddle.
Hey, Notre Dame won. That's
Notre
what matters.
Dame Notre won, Dame we won. We are celebrating because down with the SEC.
I have like three former Giants teammates that have sons playing for Notre Dame.
Oh, that's really good. I'm happy. Right.
Really?
Yeah. Stoney, Oben, and Howard Cross. Ron Stone, Roman Oben, and Howard Cross all have boys playing there. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And, of course, our former
team. This guy's a good guy. The head coach there is a good guy.
And Joe Rudolph is the O-line coach.
I'm having to watch the game. Are you watching the game?
We've got it up here because there's always sports on at the Great Dane Hilldale. Anyway, I want to bring it back to the problem that I have with Michigan winning. Michigan winning is good for the Big Ten, but it just feels like there's one more team that was able to do something that Wisconsin wasn't able to do when they had relatively similar regular seasons. As this Big Ten kind of shakes out, are you starting to worry about Wisconsin falling behind the top-tier teams?
Well, that remains to be seen. But, you know, right now, with the way they're reconfiguring the dollars, I mean, for us to go from, like, $2 million to $15 million NIL, that if we're evaluating properly and we're getting the right guys, I think the gap will close and we'll be back to where we were before. But that remains to be seen. Mr. Engler?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tough because I think about, you know, can you still recruit traditionally like how Coach did and his staff, right? Can you still do that but also include the money for certain players? But can you still go get the obviously we already talked about the big palookas and keep them in state and O-line and the tradition and so on and so forth. That's very important because Rudy's taking some guys out of here. And that's really important. But also the Jason Dorings, you know.
Do you have the patience, Derek? That's the thing. Do you have the patience for that? And that's the biggest problem.
This is more for Coach. I mean,
Coach, they have the patience to develop a kid. That's 105 kids.
You know what? Say that again.
105 kids on the roster. We went from like 120 to 105. We lost at least 15 guys. Well, not that, you know.
105 to 85.
I think I don't know the staff well enough to know if they know our history well enough to know how important it is to scour the state after you've taken your scholarship players out of there. You know, you take 5 to 7 scholarship kids come out of Wisconsin a year, I would guess, over the last 20 years, 25 years. So, but you got a lot of other players who are going to go to Whitewater and other schools. That level of playing that can play at Wisconsin, guys, big Scandinavians, big bone guys that are 6'5", 205 pounds, that in 3 years are going to be 6'5.5", 320 pounds in your weight program and on your training table. And if they can run and hit, do you spend the time to evaluate them and bring them into your program and develop the program? Do you understand how important or is a developmental program your style? It happened to be the way I figured out that was our advantage. I used them. I called our walk-ons our erasers. I gave them a lot of time. I was generous with scholarships for them whenever I could give them to them, and they paid off huge dividends.
So, Coach, that's a great point. I mean, I heard, you know, Coach Rule at Nebraska talk about this and how devastating. You know, for the NC2A now, we're going from, I believe, 85 to 105, right? Scholarships, yeah, right? But no, that's the roster limit.
Yes.
So Nebraska's got 135, 140 guys. So he's got to go tell all these walk-ons, you know, go somewhere else. I don't got a spot for you.
But you have 80 scholarships. You could pay the other guys. or spread it out. So give them half. You could break up the scholarships and give a guy a half scholarship.
I'm talking more about the walk-ons.
I know, but there's no walk-ons anymore,
all right,
essentially.
Well, really quick,
your point,
which,
right?
Which is sad. Because, I mean, there's programs like ours, Nebraska's, plenty's. I mean, Iowa. I mean,
these kids are going to go to Whitewater, and we're going to have to go develop, get it, give them a year there. By the way, go ahead, Coach.
What you could do, my mind turns, the 85 scholarship just turned into 105 scholarships.
That's right.
Or whatever the number is, every kid on a team has a scholarship because you have money that's accessible. They don't dictate who you can give that money to. So you, in the spring, you have 150. And it's like it used to be when I was at Nebraska. That's training camp. That's just like going to a pro camp. And
That's right.
Work it out, and you keep the guys that are walking on that you feel have a chance.
So, Coach, you think
there are ways to deal with this if you're smart, but you have to be creative.
That's interesting, Coach, that they'll be able to bring guys in spring, but by the time they go to fall camp, they got to be down to 105.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what? That is really interesting.
Hey, here's another tidbit with the court system. The court system pushed back on a Vandy player that basically said that JUCO doesn't count for eligibility. So you go to JUCO college now, the way it stands. Now, we'll go through the courts. But right now, as it stands, it doesn't count towards your eligibility.
844-770-3776.
That's the way I'm reading it.
As we watch Notre Dame celebrate the victory in the Sugar Bowl, we have a caller. Colin from the Twin Cities, who wants to talk a little bit about Fickell and what he sees Freeman doing in Notre Dame that is applicable to Wisconsin. Colin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I think we're thriving. What do you got for us, man?
I love it. I just wanted to talk about, also you guys were just talking about the in-state recruiting there, and I get a little worried that Wisconsin's been a program that's been so good at that, so good at developing in-state guys, and I just, I'm a little worried, with the opportunities out there, someone could, come to Wisconsin, maybe not play for a year, and then have that on their resume to transfer, to maybe an FCS or a group of five school, like a little bit we've seen this off season. So I feel like that can hurt, what Wisconsin traditionally has done and where success is from. And then just why I believe in Fickell. I mean, you see what Freeman's been doing there. Fickell recruited Freeman out of high school to come to Ohio State. Freeman coached there under him. Coach was his defensive coordinator for those great years at Cincinnati. So, I mean, I just have, the utmost faith in Fickell, especially after seeing what someone like Marcus Freeman can do with all those resources that he has there.
Well, thanks so much for the call, and I want to break these down. You had two good ideas here. First and foremost, when we're talking about guys who are going to come here to build their resume and go play at a smaller school to get playing time. Coach, I might be wrong on this, but I don't know if that's the guy I want on my team.
Well, if guys come to our place and we develop them, they're going to get playing time. They're also probably going to get some money. They're going to get a scholarship. They're not going to leave a scholarship to go to a smaller school. And just to get a degree from Wisconsin. So we forget about the degree. And having time, I just told somebody this in an interview the other day. I'm hearing all these different things. I don't ever hear anyone talk about a degree. And that's the one thing that I brought up first and foremost and emphasized with every kid that I recruited. These guys will tell you that. It's the degree from Wisconsin and the value of it. And so if someone comes there, we're paying for tutors, et cetera, and they're doing well in school, they're playing football, I wouldn't worry about them transferring to a smaller school. Are you kidding me?
God bless you, Coach. I mean, that always bothers me. It's always been in my craw. We don't even talk about it anymore. And the fact that, Alex, you know what the average career in the National Football League is?
I'm going to guess
3 years.
2 years. Oh, wow. Okay.
3 years. Tarek and I just made it.
Yeah, up. But what percentage, Derek, better than that, what's the percentage?
One.
Of all the guys in the NFL.
One. And college football.
1%.
Yeah, 1%.
College football players go to the NFL. 1%.
Correct.
Hey, can I have one more stat here? 60% of the NFL players played 6 years or more are broke.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Whoa. So just put that in the hat of the importance of getting a degree and having some fiscal literacy.
And Coach always talked about this, University of Wisconsin-Madison, a world-class institution. Never mind the your quality of life here. And that there is a lot to recruit here, and Coach always did very well.
This whole NIL deal is going to – it's a big bomb. You know what I mean? And everyone's trying to figure it out. But, like, as we get stats, you'll see guys – that fall on their face because they're always moving from school to school to collect $300,000, $400,000. Again, that's real money. It's a lot of money. But then if they don't have the degree and they don't have that financial literacy and that ability to move, to protect themselves,
might as well have been $400.
And so you mentioned this other part of it, right? You mentioned the recruiting. And that was something that Colin talked about, that he likes what he sees in recruitment from Coach Fickell. Now, yes, NIL is going to be a part of everything that happens moving forward. Eventually, at some point, we anticipate that there will be some sort of intervention and rules around NIL. It's not just going to be open, free market. But until that happens, do you think that the personality, the excitement, and the intensity that Coach Fickell has is something that can continue to recruit against some of these other Big Ten guys?
Well, I think he's done it. I think.
I absolutely.
We've recruited well.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's so dialed in and focused, and his staff is young, energetic. It reminds me a lot of when Tarek and I came here with Coach and his staff. If you're not out there pounding the streets and recruiting.
And I said this last time, like, in this class coming in 25, there's five kids from the class. We talked about last time. They lost two guys, and they lost Poteet, but he was a transplant because his dad coached here. But they lost two guys to Notre Dame, and they have five of the rest of the top, whatever that, seven, eight guys coming here. So, I mean, he knows how to do it, and he's got guys coming in that are from the transfer portal. You know, he's given himself a chance, just a matter of how well he evaluates them and develops them.
He's getting more first pour, and you can too. The Great Dane Pub Brewing Company is a Madison original.
You know that sound.
Brewing award-winning craft beers for over 30 years as my guys next to me have downed their drinks. Every Monday through Thursday, 3 until 6 p.m., enjoy 20-ounce pints of their flagship beers for only $3. That's nothing. From the Crop Circle Wheat to the Good Dog IPA and Old Glory APA, head to one of their locations in Fitchburg, Hillsdale, Madison, or
here on the east side. When are we going down to the cabana, and we can do a show live from the Naples Cabana? G-Man, we can get a flight. Tarek and I can pony up, get you a flight down there if good karma doesn't.
All right.
There's Sun Country does direct flights, right down there.
Fabulous.
We can't promise how good your accommodations are, but we will get you down
there.
You're on your own.
Tarek and I got our own accommodations. That's up to Cindy.
He's got about 2 hours in the cabana, Coach, and then he's got to leave.
Hey, listen, as long there's as no I can bring.
There's no Frisbees down there.
As long as
someone get hurt of the frisbee
plenty on the beach, as long as I can bring my Great Dane beer, I'm happy to come along and hang out in Florida
well
in the nice warm weather. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Wisconsin, and Wisconsin on Demand with Coach Barry Alvarez, and we talked a little bit about what these other Big Ten teams are doing. I am struggling personally because I don't know if our state as a whole disdains Minnesota enough to come together and be just a dominant program. When I go to Ohio State, we're hearing about Ryan Day, the coach of Ohio State, is en route to a national championship appearance. I truly believe that is the case. He's a real good coach. Texas has been bleeding all postseason, and I think it's going to be Ohio State in the playoffs, in the championship game. And Ohio State fans are still calling for his head because he can't beat Michigan. And we don't care at all about Minnesota, it feels like. Where am I lost? What, do we not dislike Minnesota enough? Coach, I see you smiling. What are your thoughts?
Well, I go to the Ohio State fans. They are so ridiculous that it's not even fair to acknowledge them and put our fans even in the same bucket with them, because they are ridiculous. And Ryan Day is as fine a coach as you're ever going to find. He lost some games to Michigan. He just won again. I mean,
he just whooped the number one team in the country's ass.
Yeah,
whooped their ass.
For some reason, they think they invented football in Ohio. That's why I used to love to kick their ass.
You know what? And
amen.
And what I love about what Ohio State did, those kids rallied around their coach. Mm-hmm. And coach, he's on the hot seat. And they, I mean,
it's true.
It was awesome. And I think they'll continue that. And that's what makes it happen. And he's a great coach.
That is what makes it happen. Wisconsin has some work
PJ
to do.
PJ Fleck still
up.
Sucks, though, and I don't know why you're bringing up
Let's
Minnesota.
Let's go!
What are you talking about, Minnesota?
They're our rival!
I know, but we should beat them every day of the week.
That's what I'm saying!
We did forever.
It's got to come back.
It's
I got
gotcha.
You.
I
grew
it
up,
absolutely needs to come back.
I grew up hardly thinking about Minnesota, and now it's like the bane of my existence, and maybe this
Trust
is
me.
Maybe
Where do you think I
good?
Have to go back to? I was just there for a week over Christmas. It was terrible!
All right. Coach, do you have any closing thoughts on Minnesota?
I don't even want to talk about Minnesota.
All right.
You know, the last thing in my mind is Minnesota. Let's talk about college football. Let's talk about the playoffs. I do not want to talk about Minnesota.
All right. Well, if you've stuck through us with the whole show digitally, thank you so much. If you're
That's
listening
awesome.
Live tomorrow night, which would be then tonight.
Coach, happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. And
Thank you, boys.
We're going to get this Naples Cabana
show. Cabana going.
Yeah, we're going to lock this in.
All right.
Cabana's
first week of February.
Cabana's for business.
First week of February.
You bring your harmonica and your guitar. You look like Bob Dylan a little bit. You're the tall version of Bob Dylan. You come down there and sing your songs and throw your frisbees.
How does it feel?
We'll let you in.
No, not at Montanaro. No frisbees at the Montanaro.
No frisbees. That's right. Just harmonicas and guitars. And then I'll smash the guitar, and then you leave. You're out.
This has been the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5.
Still there?